الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حفظ سنتي أكرمه الله بأربع صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders, friends, honorable mu'takifin, mothers and sisters in Islam that are listening to our program, and all the people that are listening to our program to our various airwaves. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar. Upon the first step, he said, Ameen. He ascended on the second step, he said, Ameen. He ascended on the third step, he said, Ameen. When he came down, Sahaba inquired from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, you have said Ameen three times, what was that for? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I ascended the first step, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to me and told to me, may destruction and disaster, may loss be upon that person who gets the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan passes by without him getting forgiven. Upon the second step, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told to me, may destruction and loss be upon that person who gets both his parents in old age or one of the two at old age and he does not serve them and get forgiven by Allah. And the third, destruction be upon that person who hears my name and he does not send durood and salawat upon me. Upon all these three, I have said Ameen to the dua, or rather the curse of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. On the basis of this hadith, the first point, the month of Ramadan, and the third point, sending durood and salawat upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama have mentioned that there is a very strong bond, there is a very strong link between the month of Ramadan and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our focus in the month of Ramadan is to inculcate within ourselves the love, the closeness, the proximity with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is the dua we should be making. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ وَحُبَّ عَمَلٍ يُقَرِّبُنِي إِلَىٰ حُبِّكَ. Oh Allah, if I had to ask anything from you, it is your love. If I got your love, I got everything. Allah, I ask of you your love. وَحُبَّ حَبِيبِكَ. And we ask of you the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask you the love of those a'mal, those actions, those deeds through which we could get closer to you. May Allah give every one of us true love for Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Respected elder and friends, the one and only way, the one and only way to attain the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is following the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other way to attain the love and the closeness to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, He tells Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to announce to the people, tell to the people, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that if you wish to get the, if you wish to get the love of Allah, or you claim that you love Allah, then فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow my path, follow my sunnah, my lifestyle, how I do things, follow my path. And if you do that, your wish and your desire of getting the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will be fulfilled. In return, يُحْبُبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will then love you. And because of your love for Allah, following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, Allah will forgive your guna, Allah will forgive your sins, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi alayhi, a great alim of the recent past, and a great mufassir, great muhakkik, researcher, he says, I used to always wonder, in the various ayats of the Qur'an Kareem, that the greatest Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Khatamul Anbiya'i wal Rusul. He is the seal of all prophets. But when we read the Qur'an Kareem, we observe, there's more mention of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You look at the Quran Kareem, different angles, different dimensions. In almost every surah of the Quran Kareem, Allah speaks about Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And a thought comes to my mind that if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so close to Allah, why does Allah speak more about Musa alayhi salatu wa salam than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, I pondered upon this particular verse. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. And after pondering and reflecting, Allah put it into my heart. That in this verse, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person has to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that is so beloved to Allah, that the person follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he become beloved to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What can we tell about the personality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How beloved is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? On one occasion, in the sixth year after Hijrat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended performing Umrah. They were stopped in a place called Hudaybiyah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a representative of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims, to go and talk to the leaders of the Kufar of Makkah, the influential people of Makkah, negotiate on behalf of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala commanded great amount of respect among the people of Makkah. When he enters Makkah Mukarrama, he was received by his family people, who in turn were supposed to take him to the leaders of Kufar of Makkah to enter into discussion and negotiations. When the family of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala saw Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was wearing a lungi, a garment that was halfway the shin. It was a norm of that time, the fashion of the time, that the lower garment or the trouser, it should flow below the ankle. So family people of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala told to Uthman, you're going to meet influential people. Why don't you lower your trousers? Why don't you lower your garment so that it is according to the norm of the time? Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's simple answer, هَكَذَا إِزْرَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Don't tell me to lower my garment. How I got my garment halfway the shin, this is how the lungi, the lower garment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not submit to the cultural norm. He did not follow peer pressure. To him the focus was the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, one tailor, he invited Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a meal. That tailor, he prepared a dish that was a mixture of meat, small piece of meat, and calabash, as we call it kaddu. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, I observed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was taking a small piece of meat, but his focus was more on the kaddu, on the calabash. He liked that calabash. And Nabi Sallallahu was taking a small piece of calabash and he was enjoying it, relishing it. Anas radiallahu said, before that, I did not enjoy kaddu, calabash, but because I saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liking it, I started liking it. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, once among the women, he gave a talk. And he narrated the same hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the women folk. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked kaddu, he liked calabash. He gave the talk and that was the end of it. When he goes home, then there was a dish of calabash that was prepared. He ate it the first day. The second day, calabash was cooked again. He ate it. The third day, calabash was cooked again. Then he approached his wife. That, is there any other food besides calabash? Why 3 days in a row you're cooking calabash? Kaddu. So she told, I attended your bayan, your talk, in which you narrated the hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like kaddu, like calabash. So I told to the servant, whenever you go to the marketplace, and whenever there's kaddu and calabash, you must buy it and you must bring it to the house. And since it was available, I cooked it and I presented it to you. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh gave the talk, but it did not even occur to him when the calabash was presented that this is the effect of the talk that he had given. He said, I heard this about my wife, I got shaken up. I was concerned. They practicing on the sunnah, what about me? I took 3 days off. 3 days off of my life to assess to what extent am I practicing on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask ourselves this question. Do we take our time to reflect that are we practicing on the sunnah? And after 3 days, after assessing, analyzing himself, he says that alhamdulillah, after assessing and analyzing my life, I found it according to the sunnah. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab, rahmatullahi alayh, a great alim of the recent past, and father of Hazrat Mufti Taqi, Mufti Rafi Osmani, daman barakatuhum, he says, when he went to Medina Munawwara to Masjid al-Nabawi, to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it was my habit, that I would not come in front of the gates of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right in line with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would stand 3 pillars away, little bit at a distance, and from there I would convey my salam. But then I observed, as we would observe, when we go to convey salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the people would like go right in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will hold the gates, and in the olden days, not like today, but people used to hold the gates and attach themselves to the gates. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, when I observed the conduct of those people, I thought to myself, what a wretched person am I. I don't have love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at these people. What great amount of love they have that they're going right through the jari of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the gates, and attaching themselves. How wretched am I that I'm from far, I'm conveying salam. And the moment he thought about that, he says, and this is narrated by Hazrat Mufti Taqi Osmani Sahab, that a voice came out from the qabr. he could perceive it. And sometimes it happens, the pious people, they perceive this. A voice came out from the qabr telling that if a person is far away from me, he's probably not in front of Rose Mubarak, far away. He could be in the north of the world, south of the world, west and east of the world, wherever he could be. If that person practices upon my sunnah, that person is close to me. And if a person, he could be right in front of me, if he does not practice upon the sunnah, he is distant from me. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to understand the value of the sunnah and to practice upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayhi, also a great alim of the recent past. He was very, very ill, very sick. When they used to present the meals to him, with much difficulty, he would sit up and he would eat the meal. So family people told him, why don't you just recline? Why don't you sit back, recline and eat your meal in that condition? You're not well. In that condition, he mentioned, this is khilaf-e sunnah. To recline and eat, it is again the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Mujaddid Al-Fasani rahmatullah alayhi, a great reviver of Islam of the 12th century. His qabr is in Sarhind. One speciality of his qabr is that if anybody, any hafiz that goes to a qabr of Maulana Mujaddid Al-Fasani and recites the Quran there with a barakat, his karamat, that person will never forget his Quran for the rest of his life. Alhamdulillah, I also been there, read the Quran Kareem by the qabr of Maulana Mujaddid Al-Fasani rahmatullah alayhi. Great Mujaddid of his time. He said, after I completed my formal studies, ulume shar'iyya, studying the Quran and the Hadith, then I studied tasawwuf, suluk and tasawwuf, the science of ruhaniyat and spirituality. I've studied the four different parts of tasawwuf. The Chishtiyya, Naqshbandiyya, Saharwardiyya, Qadiriyya. I studied everything. And I've gone in much detail where hardly anybody would go to that extent that I've studied it. And after having so much of knowledge on the Quran, Ahadith, and having in-depth knowledge of the four different tariqs of tasawwuf, I still make one dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant me tawfiq to practice the one sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Saab, the Amir of Tabligh Jamaat, he once went to Jalalabad to meet Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Saab, as we know Hazrat Ji, Rahmatullah Alayhi. So Maulana Yusuf Saab, Maulana Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayhi told to Maulana Yusuf Saab that one day when I was by your father, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi, your father Maulana Ilyas Saab told to me that you want to become a Qutub of the time. Qutub refers to a very saintly person of a very high level, very high caliber. Do you want to become a Qutub of the time? Make intention to practice on every sunnah with the intention of sunnah. Two things. Practice on the sunnah and also with the intention that this is the way of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Maulana Ilyas Saab rahmatullah alayhi said that if such a person does not become a Qutub, then come and tell me. Easy prescription. Dr. Ismail Maimon, he is writer based in Canada, Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi. He says few days before Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi would pass away, he used to be unconscious, and then when he regained consciousness, then the people around him would assist him to make his wudu. Now even in that condition, few moments before leaving the world, how sick, how ill can that person be? In that condition, he says, that once we're make wudu, we forgot washing the different limbs, immediately in that condition, so conscious of the sunnah, he told, where's my miswak? You didn't make miswak? In that condition, how conscious they are of practicing on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most respected elders and friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Man hafidha sunnati. That person who practices upon my sunnah, my way of life, how I do things, akramahu Allahu bi arba'. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will honor the person with four things. Al-muhabba fi qulubi al-barara. Wal-hayba fi qulubi al-fajara. Was-fi'atu fi al-rizq. Was-thiqatu fi al-deen. These are four things that every one of us aspire for. Practice in the sunnah, the first benefit is that the pious people, the sadiqeen, the siddiqeen, salihin, pious people, they will start loving you. They will have love in the hearts for you because you practice on the sunnah. This is the natural consequences of the sunnah. The second benefit is that the transgressors, they will have fear in the hearts for you. It's a haybat. In other words, they will have that awe in the heart for you. This is a natural consequence of practicing on the sunnah. The third, Allah will give you barakah in your rozi by practicing on the sunnah. And the fourth is, you'll become firm in your deen. Hazrat Maulana Abrar Sahab from Deoband, from Hardoi, passed away. Allah filled the qabar with noor and filled the qabar of all our kabirin with noor. And Allah grant every one of us husna khatima. During these days, this is a dua that we're supposed to be making. So once he happened to go to Dubai, and in one masjid he happened to give a talk. The imam of that particular masjid was a resident of Dabel, the place where we had studied. So in the talk, Maulana Abrar Sahab, he spoke about, drew the attention of the people, that when you make your wudu, after wudu, Nabi Kareem SAW encouraged us to read the shahadatain, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And then there's one dua that is mentioned. And we should try to inculcate it also in our practice after making wudu. Allahumma barik li fi rizqi wa wasti' li fi dari. Oh Allah, give barakah in my rizq, in my sustenance. And Allah, that make my house broad and wide. So Imam Sahib says, when I heard this talk of Maulana Abrar Sahib, then I went home, I told my wife, let us start practicing on this. And over a period of time, when they practiced upon it, and this is an incident which I've heard from Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, Madazilluhu. After practicing on this for a while, then it turned out to be a reality. Allah granted them a big house, Allah Tabarak granted them barakah in the rozi. But on that, now this does not mean that if you're looking for a big house, or you are looking for barakah in your rozi, now after wuzu you must only read this dua with the intention of getting the house. The objective is practice on the sunnah. And when you practice on the sunnah, the natural consequence of the sunnah is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will bring easy and worldly challenges. Hazrat Maulana Kalimuddin Sahab, he is the son-in-law of Maulana Abrar Sahab of Hardoi. Say one person came to him and told to him that I've got financial difficulties, I'm immersed in debts. What's the solution? How to come out of it? So Maulana Kalimuddin Sahab gave him one prescription. Now, when we will think about this prescription, somebody has to ask us, and we give him this answer, he'll try to look for the link between them two. Maulana told him, see, before eating, wash your hands. After eating, wash your hands. Now, somebody is telling you he's going to financial difficulties, and the solution you are telling him, wash your hand before eating, wash your hand after eating. There's no link between them two. Practice on the sunnah. He says, after some time, the same person practice on this particular sunnah, and with the barakah of that, Allah removed from him all his financial difficulties and hardships. Again, here, you don't pray, wash your hand before eating and after eating with the intention that debt will get paid, and you don't make an effort to pay your debt out. Adopt all worldly asbab and means to pay your debt out, but the barakah of the sunnah is Allah will open for you and remove your difficulties and hardships. Most respected elders and friends, when we observe the condition of the ummah today, the decline, the retrogression in the ummah, what we were before, that powerful, dynamic ummah that we were before, we are no more that powerful ummah. We see, we're being pushed from pillar to post. Every now and then we get a challenge of the ummah in the north of the world or the south of the world, in the middle of the world or west or east. We have faced such challenges. And in the ummah, it is painful. When we look at the retrogression and the decline of the ummah, alhamdulillah, we see there's Quran everywhere. In the month of Ramadan, they will all recite the Quran. They will recite the Quran in Taraweeh. But there's one thing missing in the ummah. And that is that passion, that zeal, that enthusiasm, that ardor for practicing on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until and unless the ummah does not inculcate the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their lives, then this ummah will never become the powerful dynamic ummah. This is what Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said. مَا صَلُحَتْ آخِرُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُحَتْ أَوَّلُهَا. The latter part of this ummah will never be perfected until the latter part of the ummah does not adopt that way like how the people of the past have adopted. And that is the sunnah. Brothers, before concluding, just few important points. If we want to sew something, we go to a tailor. The tailor will tell to you, present a sample. You want to sew a kurta, he will give a sample kurta. The tailor then will sew it, and now, when you get the sewn kurta, you put it on, it's not looking like the sample kurta. You're just not comfortable. You would immediately take objection with the tailor. You probably may not even pay him. Because the sewn kurta is not like the sample kurta. When we are so sensitive in measuring and analyzing the sewn kurta with the sample kurta, how insensitive we are when we with our actions in comparison to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant us tawfiq that just as we are sensitive to sewn kurta with a sample kurta, let our a'mal be equal in line with the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In conclusion, I just want to present one great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A short hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once told to Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ya Bunay, إن قدرت أن تصبح وتمسي وليس في قلبك غش لأحد فافعل يا بني ذلك من سنتي ومن أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة. نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم told to Anas, oh Anas, if it is possible to spend the morning and the evening in such a way that there's no ill feeling, there's no animosity, there's no rancor, no hatred in your heart for the next person, let it be so. Oh my son, this keeping the heart pure and clean, that is my sunnah. My way of life. And that person who likes my way of life, got muhabbat with my way of life, then indeed his claim of loving me is true. And that person who loves me, he will be with me like this, together in Jannah and Paradise. Our dua is, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant every one of us rifaqat, closeness with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. But my brothers, respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, we need to pay the price for that. The day of Eid is coming. Last few moments of the month of Ramadan, we want to ascend the highest stage of spirituality. One simple solution is, remove that malice from our hearts. You have a container, It got dust in it, it got dirt in it. You put the most purest water, chemicalized water in it, that water is also going to get contaminated. And if you have a container that is pure and clean, you put normal water, not even chemicalized, that water will be more useful and beneficial than that chemicalized water that comes in a container that has dust in it. What about the containers of our heart? We've got dirt in our heart. We want to get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How are we going to get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala when there's ill feelings in our heart for the next person? Remove the dirt. Remove that filth from our heart. That ill feelings, especially with family people, people in the community, people in organizations, bring love and harmony. Remove the dirt from there. Then little bit ibadat is sufficient for a person to take a person to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, granting the closest to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Brothers, Eid doesn't come all the time. It comes once a year, twice a year it comes. And we are opportunists for worldly things. But to keep our hearts clean, let us also take this opportunity. Let us use all strategy of Eid now to meet up with family people. get together, people of the community. If there were any ill feelings with anyone, use this opportunity of Eid to remove the dirt from the heart. And then, if you don't do it for the next person, at least do it for your own self. Because when you got dirt in your heart, you yourself are not comfortable. So at least do it for your own self. Let go of the dirt that's in your heart, at least for your own benefit. And in that way, when your heart is pure and clean, you'll be able to make Allah happier in more effective way. Allah grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.